Well, thanks so much. It is good to be with you this morning. It's good to be with anybody this morning. Wow. I got a text late last night from John Cullen, and it said, guys, and he sent it to really the only ones that are here today on staff. There's about half a dozen of us that are here, and he said, I don't know if I'll be there in the morning. And he said, I just want to make sure y'all can be there. But I just got a text from him a few minutes ago, and he is almost here. He's on his way. But their subdivision got hit hard down in Glen Heights. And they were not letting anyone in or out last night. And so anyway, thankful. It's between DeSoto and Ovilla, I think.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Close to Red Oak.
Yeah, south of here.
Yeah. Right.
Close to Red Oak. Well, now you know. Good. How about that? We're so glad. Yeah. Well, I want to share a lesson with you. I kind of changed gears from where I was headed earlier this week. And I want to talk about this morning, you know, Pastor Jeffers talked about, he used the reference John 3:16 last week in his message. And it kind of got me thinking about just the reality that we talk about Jesus being a gift. And at Christmas, we are focused on him being the ultimate gift to us. And John 3:16 being the verse that is so prevalent in our culture, so prominent, that God loved us so much, loved the world, that he gave his son. And that whoever believes in him might have life, should not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life, with him as a result. And so I want to just talk with you briefly this morning about the love of God. And I asked Lynn if he would sing. He asked me if I had any special requests. And I said, well, do you know the love of God? Can y'all play that and sing that this morning? So that's where that came from. I appreciate you doing that. I'm going to share those verses with you in just a moment again, in case you missed them when he was singing. But as I begin, what is the love of God? What is love? How do we define love?
Commitment.
Commitment? Yeah, mm-hmm. I heard that. Love is commitment. Mm-hmm. And what else is love?
Caring.
Thankfulness.
Giving.
Okay.
Taking.
I'm sorry?
Giving
and taking. Yeah, giving and taking. Receiving. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It is.
Love does.
That's good. Yeah, it takes action, doesn't it?
Yes.
Love is expressed. And that's important. You know, love is, it's not easily defined, because I'm not so sure we don't fully understand it, do we?
Right.
Because Scripture says God is love. And we know about God. We know a lot of characteristics about God. And we know him personally in Christ. But we can't comprehend everything, can we?
Amen.
We don't have the capacity to know that. We are limited in our finite beings. But Scripture says one day we shall know him as we are known.
Amen.
Well, God is love. And we see that in 1 John Chapter 4, verse 8. And that's where we're going to start. We're going to spend a little bit of time in 1 John. We're going to jump around a little bit as well. But 1 John 4, 8 says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And verse 9, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to what? Love one another. There's where the rubber hits the road, isn't it? Loving one another. Wow. Well, there's a song that I sang growing up in church as a teenager, and it's number 285 in your hymnal there. I just want you to look at it. We're not going to sing it, because it's been 100 years since I've sung it. And I don't look that old, but I am. I've got a lot of miles on me, too. And it's simply titled, Share His Love. Written by William J. Reynolds. Anybody remember him? Dr. Reynolds? Church musician for years and years with our convention, with the seminary. Anyway, let's just read through this. The love of God is broader than earth's vast expanse. 'Tis deeper and wider than the sea. Love reaches out to all to bring abundant life. For God so loved the world, His only Son He gave. Share His love by telling what the Lord has done for you. Share His love by sharing of your faith. And show the world that Jesus Christ is real to you every moment, every day. All those who have trusted in God's only Son and hold this precious treasure in their hearts, seek ways to make it known to all who need to know that God so loved the world, His only Son He gave. And then the chorus again. And then the third verse, we show the love of God each day we live. Reveal Christ's presence in our lives and how the Holy Spirit guides us day by day. For God so loved the world, His only Son He gave. Share His love by telling what the Lord has done for you. That's our testimony. Share His love by sharing of your faith. And show the world that Jesus Christ is real to you every moment, every day. Isn't that a good word? That's a great song.
I've never heard it.
That Dr. Reynolds gave us. And, well, you may not have heard of it. You may not have heard it either.
I haven't.
But it was popular back in the day.
We want you to sing it.
I'm sorry?
We want you to sing it.
You want me to sing it? Yeah. Okay. Maybe not. I can sing the chorus, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pat. For bringing a little balance to this group. Let me get back over here. All right, the chorus is, share His love by telling what the Lord has done for you. Share His love by sharing of your faith. And show the world that Jesus Christ is real to you. Every moment, every day. Isn't that good? Nice song. Thank you. Well, God's love, it's everywhere. Because He's everywhere. And since He's everywhere, His love is everywhere because He is love. We just read that in 1 John 4. Well, and what's the chapter that you think about when you think about the love of God?
John
3:16. Notice I said chapter, not verse. Anybody got a verse? Anybody have a chapter about love? 1 Corinthians. Thank you very much. 1 Corinthians 13. We hear that a lot at weddings. But 1 Corinthians 13 is known as the great love chapter. As God expresses His love through His word. And we see that in verse 1 that we can speak with the tongues of men and of angels. But if we have not love, we have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. In verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, And though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Puts it in perspective, doesn't it? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So there's a lot of good that can be done. There's a lot of positive things that we could rally around and cheer people on. But God says if it doesn't is not motivated by love, then what good is it? It's no good at all. God's love is so critical to our lives. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. Not preaching, but teaching to the choir. But, you know, so many times in our lives, we need to be reminded of things. Because we forget, don't we? We don't have to be senior adults to forget either. We just, as people, tend to forget. We need to be reminded of God's love. And R.A. Torrey has this to say. He says, a characteristic of love is that it takes pleasure in its object. God enjoys His creation. The Apostle John says, frankly, that God's purpose in creation was His own pleasure. God is happy in His love for all that He has made. We cannot miss the feeling of pleasure in God's delighted references to His handiwork, His creation. That's so true. God expresses His love. He has expressed that through creation. And God pursues us. You know, in the fall, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, they disobeyed in the beginning. And God comes after them. You might think that God was going to be angry, that God might discipline them, that God might have some difficult words, some harsh words to say to them for disobeying. And God is saying, Adam, where are you? You ever done that if you have children? Trying to find them. Where are you? Just wait till I get my hands on you. You know, God was coming after Adam and Eve. He said, Adam, where are you? But not even with a heart of anger, but a heart of love. God was pursuing Adam and Eve after their sin. He was pursuing them out of love. And He made provision for them. And He clothed them. Because they had come to recognize their nakedness and their need for being clothed. God provided that. He did it out of love. That's always His motivation. You know, the hymn that Lynn sang, The Love of God, it was written with in mind just to communicate the love of God, and it was inspired by words that were written on, that were etched into a prison cell on the wall. And the first two verses were written by Lehman, but the third verse, I should clarify that, is based on lines found written on the wall of an asylum where a man suffering with dementia had died. And these words were written in German, and they're translation from an Aramaic poem called the Hadamut. This is the last verse. And the last verse simply says, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade. to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. That verse has always haunted me. As long as I can remember, hearing this song, growing up as a child, seeing these words, hearing these words, and thinking about what that pictures. That depicts, you know, the ocean being ink, and the sky being the parchment, the paper that it's written on. And what he says, that if we try to express God's love fully, it would drain the ocean dry. And the parchment of the sky would not be able to contain it. Amazing. That's pretty vast, isn't it?
Amen.
We have an amazing God. We serve an amazing God. Well, there's a few points I want to cover this morning. And I want us to look at God's love and the characteristics of it. Number one, that it's eternal. Number two, that it's sacrificial. Number three, it's inseparable. Number four, that it's compelling. Number five, it's unfailing. Number six, that it's given by His Holy Spirit. And number seven, that it is corrective. Why am I ending with that, corrective? Well, we'll see in just a minute. But I want us to look at a few verses. Look at God's love being eternal. And let's look at Jeremiah 31:3. Jeremiah 31:3. And it says, "The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you." We've all been drawn by God. If we haven't been drawn by Him, we are being drawn by Him, right? For the purpose of salvation. But God's love draws us. And it is eternal, His prophet Jeremiah says in 31:3. Now, let's look at number two. God's love is sacrificial. We saw that in, we've already talked about John 3:16. Let's look at Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8. We're just going to do a little Bible drill here and look at several verses. "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So He demonstrates it to us even while we were still sinners. He sent Christ to die for us. So God's love is a sacrificial love. He gave His only begotten Son. Then God's love is inseparable. Let's look at that same book, Romans, and go to chapter 8. And you probably would have guessed that. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Romans 8, beginning at verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Inseparable. Let's also look at 2 Timothy 1:12. To coincide with that. "For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him until that day."
Amen.
I better not. Let's thank you for asking, though, Pat. I should have come prepared to sing more. Now, the next one, number four, is that God's love is compelling. And we see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You're getting all this exercise looking up verses, aren't you? 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for those, for them, and rose again. The love of Christ compels us. His love is compelling. And as other people encounter us day to day in life, how is the love of Christ compelling through us to others? Are others drawn to God through us, through what they see, what they hear, what they experience as they encounter us? That's a sobering thought, isn't it? How is the love of Christ, how is it experienced by others when they have an experience with us? In traffic?
Yes.
In the grocery line? I always pick the longest line. the slowest line, I should say. Sometimes I'll get the shortest line, but it always takes longer. We have a tradition at our house. I don't know how long we've been doing this, but for years, on Christmas, sometime Christmas Day, we'll go see a movie. And we started this when our kids were home, and we still have one daughter home, so we went to see Star Wars on Christmas Day. And it's amazing how many spiritual lessons are in that movie. But we were, I'm telling you the story to say that I went out to the concession area to get my daughter a drink. And I got in this line, and I thought, oh, this is going to go fast. And then this lady came out after I did, got in the other line, and got through before I did. And I'm thinking, you know, how does this work? But anyway, I'm sure God's teaching me patience. Trying to. Anyway. Funny things that happen in life. But letting God's love be expressed through us so that others are compelled to trust Him, having encountered us. God's love is unfailing, and we see that in so many places, but I want to direct you to Psalm 13. Psalm 13, verse 5. Which says, but I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. That's verses 5 and 6. God's love is unfailing. He loves us so much. Look at, while we're over here in Psalms, let's look at Psalm 104. This is, I think it's 35 verses. We're not going to read all of them. So just relax. Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great.
What verse?
Verse 1. I'm reading from the New King James. I picked up the New King James this morning instead of the New American Standard, which is what I usually teach from. But I studied out of this one, so I just grabbed it. Verse 2, who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain, He lays the beams of the upper chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind, who makes his angels spirits. He ministers a flame of fire. He who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. You covered it with a deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the voice of your thunder they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place which you founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. So much in here, this particular psalm. It just speaks of God's majesty and his being the creator and sustainer. And if it weren't for him, the world literally would fall apart, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But he set things in order, and things shall not be moved without without him allowing that. God's love is unfailing. He cares for us. He loves us. And then next we have God's love is given by the Holy Spirit. And we see that in Romans 5:5. Going back over here to Romans. Chapter 5, verse 5. Let's begin in back up into verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only this, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. In verse 5, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. God's love is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That's his desire, is to flood our lives with his love through his Spirit. And then lastly, God's love is corrective. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. And if you are a parent, it should be apparent about this verse. That's just a little joke there. Very small. Being a parent, this verse should be apparent. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. Hebrews 12, 6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with his son, with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you're without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. And so, correction really communicates love. And I never really understood that growing up when I was corrected, which happened quite a bit. I know you find that hard to believe. I haven't always been so well-mannered. But, you know, we all have to learn, and that's why we're given parents and those who are our custodians to discipline us, to really demonstrate to us, to show us love. That communicates love. You know, it's just an interesting thing how God designed us to function, how we relate so well to that. And God knows what we need. He knows we need correction. And when we are corrected, we know we're loved. It communicates that to us deeply in our hearts. And when kids are not corrected, they're not. We're not showing them that we love them. I'm amazed at how many parents don't correct. They just let kids kind of find their own way and irritate the rest of us in restaurants and places. I was at the mall the other night. I try not to go there. But in a weak moment, I went with my wife, and I didn't trust her to go by herself. I'm just kidding. But I did. I went with her, and it was kind of a divide and conquer kind of thing. We were short on time, and she went one direction, I went the other. And I have a good sense of direction everywhere except the mall. And I get in the mall, and I just kind of, you know, you can't see the stars and the sun and anything. So I'm just trying to find my way.
You have to have a reason.
And so she gave me directions. She kept texting me saying, okay, I'm over here now. Go down here and turn right or whatever. So she was telling me how to find her. But I'm making my way back to her because I had picked up a cup of coffee for her. I was trying to get it to her. So I'm walking down the hall there. And, you know, the wide corridors there at the mall. And I kept seeing these kids darting in and out of people and things. And I thought, man, whose kids are they? And, I mean, just little bitty tots. And but they were running. They were having a great time. It was like a playground there. And so I'm minding my own business. I'm walking. And all of a sudden, this kid darts right across in front of me and just came out of nowhere. And as I'm stepping like this, when I stepped, he came across. And he caught my foot, and he went sprawling. And I thought, oh, my goodness, you know, this kid's going to be hurt. But he copped up like this. He jumped up, and he looked at his mom and dad and went like that. I'm okay. And they came walking over, and I waited. I wanted to speak to them, let them know I didn't trip him on purpose. So they came over, and I said, you know, he hit the edge of my foot, and that's what tripped him. And I said, I'm really sorry. And they said, oh, no, he should not have been running. And so they took responsibility for it to the point that they knew it wasn't my responsibility. But they didn't take it far enough to put a harness on him or something. A leash. Grab his hand, you know, a halter. Anyway. I'm sorry? The coffee, it was fine. You know, I didn't go sprawling, thankfully. I got it to her, and she enjoyed it. She was asking about the coffee. It was okay. But, you know, and I'm not criticizing those parents, but I'm just saying God's Word tells us clearly that we're to discipline, and that discipline demonstrates love. And God disciplines us, and we need to receive that as His love for us as well. So, you know, the theme of all of God's Word is just revealing Himself. God is revealing Himself to us all throughout Scripture. And He's really revealing His love to us. And someone has wisely said that this is God's love letter to us. It's 66 books of God's love letter to us. And oftentimes we don't see it as that. We see it as a bunch of things that we, like rules that we should keep or do's and don'ts. But it's God's love for us that He's demonstrating to us through what He's written. And there are some other verses I'm not going to be able to get to this morning. But I do want to share something from Spurgeon. I want to end with this quote from Charles Spurgeon. And it's entitled Immeasurable Love. Just an excerpt from one of his sermons. And I love reading these things because he puts the date on all of them. And he says this was intended for reading on the Lord's Day, July 26th, 1885. Anybody here then?
No.
No. Okay. Just checking. He says, I was very greatly surprised the other day and looking over the list of texts from which I preached, to find that I have no record of ever having spoken from this verse, the verse that we began with, 1 John 4:8. So Spurgeon has no record of ever preaching from that verse. He says, this is all the more singular because I can truly say that it might be put in the forefront of all of my volumes of discourses as the sole topic of my life's ministry. So a verse that he's never preached from, he's saying, could be the very core, the very banner for all of his messages, his whole life's ministry. He said, it has been my one and only business to set forth the love of God to men in Christ Jesus. I heard lately of an aged minister of whom it was said, whatever his text, he never failed to set forth God as love and Christ as the atonement for sin. What a testimony.
Yeah.
Spurgeon says, I wish that much the same may be said of me. My heart's desire has been to sound forth, as with a trumpet, the good news that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So my question to us this morning is, what is our heart's desire? Is that our heart's desire that our lives would so demonstrate the love of God to others that they would be compelled to ask us what it is that motivates us? Who it is that motivates us? What is it that compels us? Another question, how may I promote and proclaim the love of God in this new year, 2016? You know, we keep hearing from Dr. Jeffress and others that the days are short for the Lord's coming. He is coming back. And that time is drawing near. It's drawing nearer and nearer. We don't know if it'll be today. It may be before 2015 is over. It may happen in 2016. We don't know. But our responsibility is to be ready and to do all we can to be that conduit of the love of God that flows from Christ to others through us. And the last question is, how will my life be different next Christmas than it is this Christmas because of the love of God? Something to think about. I apologize for having to scoot out so quickly, but I know you understand. It's been great to be with you. Let me close this in prayer, at least my portion of the lesson, and I'll turn it over to Aaron. Father, we are grateful to be together this morning. I thank you for these dear ones that have come, and as I've heard in other classes today, it's quality, not quantity today. Lord, I thank you for these faithful few who have come. We pray today for Dr. Moody and Becky as they're away, and for next week, for Dr. Graham as he comes to teach. Lord, I thank you for Eric and Melba and their love for this class and for you, and Lord, how they demonstrate that in so many ways, practical ways. Lord, I pray for all those who were unable to be here today, who wanted to be here but couldn't get here. Lord, I pray for your safety and your protection. We do thank you for your great love for us, for your word that you've given us to instruct us and to correct us, to train us. And we're so grateful for the relationship we have with you because of your Son, Jesus. And we pray all this in his name. Amen.